Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by 30%.
Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Sometimes a double XL freshman class can seem to have unlimited potential and still end up being nothing more than a dud. Fresh from one of the most legendary groups that they have ever assembled during the previous year in 2016, hip-hop fans obviously had some high expectations for the next lineup to be revealed, as it was hyped up to be just as iconic. However, you can argue that only one of them has stayed hot to this day, and even that's been somewhat of a bumpy ride. Meanwhile, one of its most promising voices was tragically killed before he could ever make the impact that he was capable of, and this is why the 2017 XXL freshman class failed. So let's start off with a rapper who actually managed to get a number one album 2 years after appearing in the annual list, but somehow still managed to get clowned on for doing so. We're talking about a man who goes by the name of A Boogie in the Hoodie. While he had some major steam behind him at the time of joining the list, and was fresh from supporting Drake on the Summer 16 tour, A Boogie was determined to use his melodic rhymes to put on for his hood of Highbridge, New York. Releasing his debut album, The Bigger Artist, that same year, A Boogie racked up a couple of hits like Say A and Beast Mode, as well as guesting on Kiki with Tekashi 6ix9ine. Then, he really made it into superstar status when he released his banger hit song called Drowning with Kodak Black, as this track alone went 9 times platinum. But after getting all this momentum, he was about to lose some love from the hip-hop community, as in October of 2017, it was reported that Boogie and his fellow XXL classmate, PnB Rock, who we'll be also discussing later in this video, put the beats down on one of the most beloved figures in hip-hop, Lil B the Bass God.
Lil B says that Boogie and his crew jumped him, and according to Lil B, it was because Boogie and his crew or whatever didn't care for B's opinion of his music.
In case you aren't familiar, Lil B is probably the most wholesome rapper to ever emerge from the genre, at least as far as the internet is concerned. After he critiqued the current state of hip-hop stars coming out of New York at the time for sounding too much like Future and Dej Loaf, A Boogie didn't want to let that slide, as he was pretty much one of the main New York artists who were blowing up back then. But instead of just letting people have their own opinions and think what they want to think, he instead got together with his crew and got violent. And the attack was even captured on video. Obviously, I cannot show you the footage on YouTube, but just know it was pretty brutal. And to get this kind of punishment for something as small as a critique, it really wasn't a good look for A Boogie. To make things worse, the bass god took it to the chin, and in the aftermath of the attack, Lil B went on stage and still claimed that it was just all love.
A Boogie and his whole crew just jumped me in the back, man, and beat me up in the back, man. That shit crazy, man. Hey, but I'm gonna tell y'all like this. It's all love. I don't promote violence. I'm never with the violence. So I love them, and it's all good.
To not even be slightly mad or resentful at someone who got an entire crew to put the beats on you for a simple comment, this really showed the mental stability someone like Lil B had. And even other rappers like Travis Scott were seen condemning A Boogie's actions from the stage later on that same night.
Protect Lil B at all fucking costs, motherfucker.
Although they reportedly had a phone conversation and patched things up, that was it for a lot of people when it came to A Boogie. And a lot of people believed that Lil B's infamous curse, which he himself placed on sports stars and or rappers who dissed him, would affect his career. With users commenting, A Boogie is about to catch this curse for the rest of his life. And A Boogie will be irrelevant within 2 years after assaulting the bass god. At this point, it was clear that A Boogie alienated many hip-hop consumers, but thankfully for him, he had a strong base who were willing to simply enjoy the music. With that, he managed to score a number one album with Hoodie Season in December of 2018. However, rather than the headlines being about him reaching this milestone, the number one was tainted by being recognized as the first chart-topping artist to sell fewer than 1,000 physical copies. So, rightfully so, it left A Boogie frustrated, but it also made him determined to prove the naysayers wrong.
Like, yo, what does a number one album really mean, though?
Like, number one album means, like, it don't mean get comfortable. It means, for me, it means get more hungry, because a lot of people choose to get comfortable after their number one album, man. That just mean, like, you sleeping. A lot of people slept on me. Speaking of sleeping, like, a lot of people slept on me for, like, the past year, I felt like. And right now, I'm about to go crazy.
Since then, A Boogie has pretty steadily dropped an album every 2 years or so. And on top of the fact that he has never had another smash single like Drowning or another number one, it also seems like a lot of people just stopped checking for him after his moment in the driver's seat. And unfortunately, in a genre like hip-hop where perception is everything, it's pretty difficult to overcome that obstacle when the world decides whether you're no longer hot. A Boogie fans really hate to see it. Now absent from the Billboard Hot 100 since 2022's Drowning Part 2, A Boogie shows what happens when the public just loses interest in your sound, and there isn't enough going on to keep them hooked. While for Kyle, his cheerful take on hip-hop was just never going to succeed long-term in the trap era. Initially rapping under the name Super Duper Kyle, this Ventura, California MC was nothing close to a stereotypical gangster rapper. Exploding onto the mainstream with the Lil Yachty assisted I Spy in 2016, he would soon sign a deal with Atlantic Records, who obviously saw a ton of potential with his happy-go-lucky sound. He was cut from the same cloth of that of a, say, Chance the Rapper, which in and of itself should be a telltale sign of something bad to come. But while there is no denying that this hyper-positive trend of hip-hop was a change from the norm, it wasn't one that everyone necessarily welcomed. This meant that when it was time for him to drop his freshman freestyle in 2017, the comment section got hijacked by memes mocking his friendly personality, with comments like, Kyle the type of dude to stop at a red light in GTA. Kyle the type of guy to apologize when he knocks someone out in dodgeball. When it comes down to it, this is exactly why Kyle ended up flopping. Although his debut album, Light of Mine, was a respectable project and ended up being certified platinum, its follow-up, See You When I'm Famous, was anything but that. By that point, people were angered by his sound, especially since he was edging closer to the age of 30. Now, there may be another reason to his fall-off other than the simple fact that people just got tired of listening to him. In June of 2021, he returned to being independent, and seemed to hint that the major label system just didn't work out for him.
I feel like when I was independent, you really have to stand on your own 2 feet. You know, it's literally just you. So when you're standing in your own 2 feet, you're really grounded in who you are. And I think when you're with, you know, a bigger record label like that and you're a part of this machine, you start playing the machine game a little bit. And your music is almost more of like a laid out thing that you already know what you're gonna do in order to obtain this result. Whereas now I'm like kind of just being myself again. Or at least that's what it feels like. Biggest difference is
left with the best years of his career behind him, Kyle is still out here grinding. The only problem is that fewer people are interested in his sound than at any other point in his career. And his fellow classmate, Maiden Tayo, has experienced the same fate. As of now, he's gone from millions of views to just 8k on an official video. A military kid who moved around a lot before settling in Tokyo for much of his youth, Maiden Tayo made a huge impact when he first arrived on the scene with the banger hit song that was Uber everywhere. Considering he came up around the time as people like Lil Uzi and Yachty, there's a case to be made that he could have easily been a part of that legendary 2016 freshman class. But before he even released his debut album, people were already a little cynical on how he would evolve as an artist. However, at that point, some people were okay with it as long as he kept cranking out hits. Although Uber Everywhere and tracks like Skateboard P also made some major waves, people were waiting on the next evolution of his sound. And in interviews around that time, he insisted that he had something special coming on his debut album.
So this album that I'm working on, it's a mixture of everything like that I'm working on. So you got some vibes from Metro on there. You have like some vibes with me and Pharrell. That's more on a singing vibe, like house vibe. I want to give a mixture because it's like a mixtape, like an album. You got to give a mixture of everything.
But when the project Sincerely Tokyo arrived in 2018, there was none of that real sonic growth people expected. As a result, the album flopped, with the exception of Ned Flanders with ASAP Ferg becoming a sleeper hit. Since then, there's been speculation that he has fallen off, which now seems to be all but confirmed. Now working on more jazzy lo-fi rap these days, Maiden Tayo had no shortage of talent, but just got too deep in a lane to the point that he couldn't escape, even when he finally did evolve. He does follow me on X though, so shout out to him. But whatever happened to Ugly God? Well, he himself is on record saying that being part of the 2017 XXL freshman class.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Did more bad than good to his career. I've dedicated an entire video to Ugly God's downfall before, but in case you haven't seen it, here's the condensed version of what went wrong with this particular 2017 freshman. Seen as much of a meme as he was a musician, Ugly God really came to the forefront of the game with the hugely catchy single titled Water. Often seen as a mumble rapper, he was reluctant to accept that definition for the new wave of hip hop, but he did admit that what he was doing wasn't exactly groundbreaking.
I knew once I started blowing up that hip-hop was completely fucked. Like, it's just not the same, bro. Anytime you let a kid get into the hip-hop fucking, in the rap game that raps about being his meat, it's not the same. Like, you know, Tupac probably looking down, pissed off, Biggie pissed off.
You said that you feel your music is trash.
Oh, it's trash, terrible.
Suddenly, in the limelight, Ugly God would fail to deliver another track as big as Water. And in his own estimations, things just accelerated too fast for them to be sustainable.
Before XXL, even the Water shit, I even say Wild Water was coming out. But my fan base was growing so like steadily and organically. And then like just looking at my numbers, which I fucking hate going by numbers, but sometimes it matters, and like going by numbers and like as far as my followers and like my analytics and stuff, as soon as XXL happened, that shit shot the fuck up.
I bet.
And it was I feel like I didn't get my core fan base.
Conceding in a lengthy Snapchat post that while my joke around songs are fun to make and churn up to, I'm creating no kind of substance or mark. Ugly God would realize that hip hop has an obscenely quick turnover rate when it comes to viral stars. And by the time he dropped his debut album Bumps and Bruises in August of 2019, his momentum had basically disintegrated.
Being inconsistent, bruh, that shit was totally my choice. I didn't want to burn myself out, and I'm thankful for that. I low-key felt like I couldn't come back. I couldn't bounce back unless I had a good-ass feature on the shit. My Whoa Now song, bro, we got some good-ass ad-libs on it, bro. This shit's so amazing, but niggas been bullshitting me on that song for 2 years straight, bro. Since I previewed it, bro. Like my brother said, like my brother Cash said, you know, this rap shit just like high school, you feel me, bro? Niggas want to be around who the hottest, who around, who all in the scene and shit. Y'all know that's just not me.
Because of how much he has gone off the radar, it meant that when he was hauled into police custody over allegedly murdering his best friend's father, it was the first time that a lot of people had even heard the name Ugly God in years. It's almost been a year since the news broke, and no one's really sure if it's real or fake. But one thing that is for sure is that he has been struggling to escape his comedic image and be given a chance to be a real artist. Recently, he's tweeted that he has 3 albums ready to go, but that he doesn't know how to go about it without a label. I personally suggested that he does a small press run, perhaps going on a podcast with someone like Academics or Kai Cenat would help him generate some buzz again. But until then, Ugly God now has a long road back to the top. While for Oakland's Kamaya, her journey to the peak of the industry never really got underway due to a bad deal. Hailing from the Bay, Kamaya was a talented female spitter who had already collaborated with legends like E40 in her early career. But she really got some extra shine when she inked a deal with YG's Interscope-backed 400 label. Along with dropping her own underrated A Good Day in the Ghetto project on the imprint, she also got a guest feature on YG's Still Brazy album that got herself appearing on a track with Drake himself. With Why You Always Hatin' tearing up the clubs, Kamaya seemed like she was aiming for stardom. So it was no surprise that she got a spot on the XXL Freshman 2017. But while on 400, that momentum she had just ran out. After a while, she decided that staying there just wasn't going to get her where she wanted.
It's just like, I'm not gonna flourish here. If I stay here, I ain't gonna never be what I'm supposed to do. I mean, never be what I'm supposed to be and reach my maximum
altitude,
you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, this ain't a fit for me. It ain't what I envisioned myself being. this ain't my vision for my career, so I had to do what I had to do. It was best for me.
To make matters worse, she said that her and YG didn't exactly end on good terms either.
I mean, some things said that I felt like until he rectified and apologized, I don't feel like it's the point of me having a conversation, because then I'm pacifying your actions. And me being a woman and a queen that stand on my word, I felt like you got to be a man and stand on yours and apologize.
Back on her independent grind, Camila still has a lot of supporters in the Bay and beyond. And that's ultimately because she was left to stagnate on YG's label when she really should have been capitalizing on the buzz of that Drake feature. Now, that window looks to have closed, but her and YG did patch things up during a show in Oakland in 2023. For Kamaya, the time frame where she was popping off after the 2017 XXL freshman list was incredibly small, but it still pales in comparison to how short-lived the buzz around Cap G was. An MC from Atlanta, Cap had been grinding since 2014's Like a Mexican and got some early traction collabing with Chief Keef, Jeezy, and many more. But he finally blew up when he released 2016's Girlfriend. At that point, people were fascinated by who he was and the story behind his rise to fame. And rather than fabricate any stories, he was straight up about who he was and who he wasn't.
And I ain't even gonna lie, like, I'ma keep it 100. I ain't no gangster. I ain't trying to be nothing I am. I'm just me. I just do me, you know. I'm just cool. And I don't got to go through that. Sometimes you can be like, you be itching to do it because, you know, like, shit, it'd be a quick come up, but it's like, nah, man, just stay in my own lane.
After signing to Atlantic Records, Cap was appointed to the XXL freshman class. But despite being featured on that list, he released his debut album, Super Jefe, the same year, and it didn't even make it onto the charts. After that, things got only worse for him in 2018 when he dropped the follow-up, No Cap. With some critics writing that he went from the XXL freshman class of 2017 to, well, nowhere really. After so many misfires on Atlantic, he decided to go independent. When he discussed the move, it seemed like he was hinting towards the label trying to steer him in a direction that didn't help his career or sacrificed his authenticity.
I'ma keep it independent for a minute until, because a lot of people don't know, like, for some people, a label might go well with them, but sometimes, like, a label, like, if you don't got nothing going on and, like, you just starting off, a label will try to point you in another direction to make you blow, and that might not be you.
Still dropping steadily to this day, recent singles like Been Him would suggest some signs of life there. But the only issue is that no one is listening, and some of his songs are getting around 20,000 views on YouTube at this moment. And even his fans feel like there's no one to blame but himself for how he fell off. At the moment, there's nothing stopping Cap G from mounting a comeback if he can get the audience's attention again. And unfortunately, that's exactly what PNB Rock was doing before his untimely passing. Blowing up off the triple platinum selling Selfish, PNB was one of Atlantic Records' biggest prospects for the future when he appeared on the XXL freshman cover. Suddenly enlisted for contributions to the Fast and Furious soundtrack while working with the likes of Nicki Minaj and even Ed Sheeran, he looked capable of becoming the next big star out of Philly. But like other people in his freshman class, his sound just stayed the same, and as a result, people were bored by the time he dropped a very bloated project in 2019. Although Death has a funny way of making rap fans pretend like they were always someone's biggest fan, no one was checking for him after that project. And after all that went down, PNB got bitter towards his label, which he expressed on Instagram, saying, "Wish somebody would have sat and told me not to take the deal. I don't make money off my music. I got paper still." Eventually deciding to leave Atlantic, PNB wanted to regroup, and had just begun releasing music again via a new distribution deal with Empire, when he was tragically shot and killed in a botched robbery. Deprived of a second chance, all signs suggested that PNB knew that he had lost his way with music for a while and was ready to ramp things up again. After his death, Kodak Black, who would unfortunately blame his girlfriend for his passing for posting their location on Instagram shortly beforehand, explained that they had been talking about working together again. Shaking my head, PNB was my boy. I was just on the phone with him last night. We were talking about coming back out and popping his shit again in this rap shit. Although his baby mama was unfairly blamed for his demise, she eventually detailed what happened in an emotional post and made it clear that PNB went out a hero. When PNB was killed, the XXL freshman class of 2017 was struck with tragedy. And sadly, this was not the first time. And the controversial XXXTentacion experienced a similar fate. A man whose presence on the list was marred with controversy from the outset, XXXTentacion was a volatile kid from Florida who used his artistic abilities as a way to soothe his mind.
When I was a kid, like I said, I was batshit fucking crazy. I would just fight way too much. I had problems with my mom. My dad wasn't around. I was just lost. Literally lost, numb. Like, I just wasn't anywhere, you know? Amongst that, like, just growing up, like, just knowing I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. music started to present itself.
But it wasn't just him that resonated with what he was doing. It was an army of kids who saw his honest and raw output as a window into themselves. So while there were many people who felt his high-profile domestic violence case meant that he shouldn't even be on the list, he showed up to the cipher and spit one of the most talked-about verses in the history of XXL Freshman. But whether or not that's for the right reasons is a matter of taste.
And if the world ever has an apocalypse, I will kill all of you fuckers. Fear will be plentiful, death will be bountiful. I will spare none of you peasants. Fuck your religion, your pastor fuck isn't got sent to a prison in PC. I seen the devil, he's in you women, you and he's saving to listen to this, see.
In spite of terrifying half the industry, X, who stayed independent his whole career, really showed no signs of falling off, and just kept flourishing after the freshman freestyle. On his studio albums like 17 and his question mark album, X reached a generation of fans who streamed his music millions of times. And by the time he dropped the second project, he debuted at number one on the charts with over 130,000 first week sales. But sadly, all that momentum would turn into mourning when he was killed and robbed in his home city of Broward County. I already dedicated a whole video to this, and what happened to him is an example of what happens when greed leads people to take a life in cold blood. Now, every man responsible is behind bars, and will continue to be for a very long time to come.
You'll spend every hour, and every day, and every week, and every year of your life in that cell. And one day, they'll come and open up that cell in the morning, and you'll have passed on. And only on that day will you observe your sentence.
For XXXTentacion, the goal was never to be a mainstream artist. It just happened because people fell in love with what he had to offer. While for Portland's Amine, it seems like the only reason he's not a superstar is because he's basically gone out of his way to avoid becoming one. Breaking through on 2016's Caroline, Amine was plucked from obscurity to sign a deal with Republic Records in August of that same year. Less than 10 months on, he'd be announced as part of the freshman class. At the time, he brought a really interesting, unorthodox flavor to their ranks. Releasing his debut album, Good For You, just days after the XXL rollout, the album was met with positive reviews and has since been certified as gold. But where that album had a distinctly fun sound, Amine was instantly bored of doing that and has been switching things up ever since. To be honest, if there's any reason why he hasn't become a major star, it's that. However, according to him, it's all by design.
I've never been a fan of, like, whenever it's like, yo man, I wish Amine would get back to doing Yellow on Good For You, I'm like, yo, that you'll never get that again. You know what I mean? And that's super intentional for me. I want every album to kind of have a different feeling. And, you know, some of my favorite artists like Kanye West have kind of done that. You know, I knew from the start I wanted my discography to feel, you know, like you got a lot out of it. And I think I have like a voice that people write.
After 2020's Limbo performed way better than the previous record, most people would be frantically trying to make the most of the hype. But instead, Amine opted to not release another record for another 3 years. And when he did, it was a collab project with the Canadian producer K Tronda, which received the worst sales of his entire career. But as usual for Amine, it received critical acclaim, opting to throw his audience all kinds of musical curveballs that just don't result in mainstream success in this current climate, and refuses to do anything to try and grab attention, as he just wants to be revered for the quality of what he delivered.
For me, it's just super important where I just want people to know me for my work and the quality of my work. I don't want to be known as the guy who pulled up and did antics in order to be famous. For me, I just want to be known for my work, you know, as an MC as well.
In Amine's case, his fans will always stick by him because by all accounts, his insistence that he doesn't want to be famous is very real. However, the final entry in this list has tried so hard to be enigmatic that even his cult fan base are getting a little sick of it. Brought into the world of hip hop by people like Uno the Activist and Awful Records, Cardi found his way into the mainstream via ASAP Rocky Rocky's Aug Records, and after his self-titled mixtape blew up, he really embraced the superstar role.
I stuck without a tape, two cribs without a tape, two hoes without a tape, two deals without a tape.
He's a superstar, you know.
See, I don't game bang, I don't do none of that street shit, I'm a pop star. I'm in here to stay, keep that street shit over there. $1,000
2 months after dropping his debut tape, he was on the XXL freshman list, and by the time he dropped Die Lit the following year, there was a time where it really felt like Cardi could do no wrong in his audience's eyes. But nowadays, maybe not so much. After the long-awaited Whole Lotta Red finally dropped and left some fans underwhelmed, it feels like some people haven't been able to get on board with the new, more elusive Cardi, and just find it a little embarrassing. Labeled the deadbeat dad by Iggy Azalea, arrested for allegedly putting his hands around the throat of his pregnant girlfriend, as well as reckless driving, and recently best known for finessing Aiden Ross out of a bag, Cardi seems intent on doing everything but dropping projects. As a result, all of the antics overshadow his attempts to be boundary pushing, while for others, his new flow and delivery makes it hard for fans to understand what he be saying.
Anybody who speak Cardinese, translate what the fuck he just said. Anybody who speak Cardinese, please translate that. Please, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't think the flow was bad. I just think if I hopped on the track and said, that's, the producer would tell me to get the fuck out.
But there are also issues regarding Cardi's growth as an artist that aren't all necessarily his fault. Alongside Kanye West claiming that his label situation is a mess, there's also an argument to be made that much like his former friend Lil Uzi Vert, he hasn't been able to put out the best music because so much of it is stolen beforehand. In fact, his music has been subject to so many leaks that Cardi's longtime producer Filthy said that his fans have basically prevented them from putting out new material.
They leaked another Cardi song. They ruining everything, just so y'all know. That's why niggas ain't record. Yeah, don't do nothing. Fuck y'all niggas. Niggas had an album for y'all. It wasn't make-believe.
Now, there's no denying that out of everyone in the 2017 XXL freshman class not named XXXTentacion, he's the only one who's managed to stay as relevant as ever, if not more so. However, with fans growing impatient and his mysterious shtick grating on them, there's no denying that he could be even bigger. And now, with so much pressure on his shoulders yet again, he has to deliver on his next project to ensure that he doesn't join the long list of XXL alumni who've fallen off after once seeming so essential to the industry.